This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Did you know that everyone has rights? No matter who we are, we all qualify. But what happens when freedoms collide? The answers are rarely simple, but always interesting. Join me, Danielle McLaughlin, to talk about civil liberties and human rights on Know Your Rights.
Hey, Danielle, welcome to the program. It's funny because I always find that laws that are called like the happy or the positive or the freedom, whatever, often come with some negative consultations. And earlier this month, an Ontario judge struck down parts of an anti-panhandling law that's been in effect since 2000. What was the purpose of the so-called Safe Streets Act and why was it passed?
Well, you know what? You're so right about that. I remember the tenant protection law, which was clearly aimed at protecting landlords. So I think you're not wrong here, Grant.
Right.
Well, the Safe Streets Act, which was put together in 1999, not a new piece of legislation. This was the second time that its constitutionality was challenged. It apparently, according to some people, there was a problem in around 1999, 2000, with what the people they used to call squeegee kids.
You may
remember this issue. They were people who would sort of leap into an intersection with a not very clean squeegee and clean people's windshields and then ask for money for doing it. Usually they made the situation completely worse. And they also, in some cases, blocked traffic. So the government, in its wisdom at the time, decided to pass legislation, which was, in my opinion, ridiculously overbroad. The purpose was to stop these squeegee acts. That was the initial purpose. But, you know, things have a way of, being the thin edge of the wedge. So people who were creating this legislation at the time said, gee, you know, I don't like being asked for money. Maybe we could broaden this and include a whole raft of other acts, which basically had to do with people who were living in poverty, asking other people for help. And in 2007, there were people who were charged. I think it was eight or nine people were charged under the act. And in fact, the act was upheld as being constitutional. Then in 2017, this tells you how long it takes things to get through courts, of course, another group said this act is not constitutional. And that's where we were earlier this month.
Danielle, a lot of people back in the day when that was formed were concerned about damage to their vehicles. That was some of the stuff people would say. Or we worry, as we do in Canada, about what Danielle McLaughlin is doing to get away with. How come I can't get away with it? But the person who really needs to be able to get away with it and come up to you and say, excuse me, can I get a dollar for a coffee? Why? You're going to go smoke it up or are you actually going to drink it? We worry about somehow figuring out what they're truly doing with the money instead of taking them at face value. Value and worrying more, can I afford to give that dollar? Or if I reach in my pocket, are they going to grab my wallet? Or what? There's so many things that we hide behind as our own personal fears. What if they jump in front of your car, you're at a light and you hit them? Oh, then I'm going to get charged. So,
well, you know, I'm sure were questions that people were asking at the time that they formulated this law, Kelly.
Yeah.
One of the things lawmakers rarely do, to my great shock, is say, well, what's already against the law? Well, damaging somebody's car, that's long been against the law. Blocking traffic, also against the law. And robbing somebody, you know, that it's not a big surprise to find out that assaulting or robbing people has never been lawful.
Legal.
So it wasn't lawful, it wasn't legal to do any of those things. But in the effort of creating this act, they said, well, you know, let's reach out and pull in as many different things that we don't like as we can. I will tell you two things. One, this week is the 42nd anniversary of there being a Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And so thanks to Trudeau the Elder, the Queen, and among others, and the late Roy McMurtry, we have a charter that we can rely upon to protect our rights. How well does it work? That's up to you to decide.
Sometimes more than others.
Yes. Well, this past weekend, I had the privilege of being a guest speaker at a conference on democracy at Toronto Metropolitan University. And I brought this particular issue up as an item for conversation because I wanted people to understand that we will disagree about this, that while most of us are uncomfortable being approached by strangers on the street, where would we draw the line? So, for example, if somebody's collecting for a charity, I know that at the time that this law was passed in 2000, there was in some of the suburban and more rural areas, firefighters were stopping cars at intersections, bringing out their big boots and asking people to make a contribution to a charity that the firefighters were supporting. You won't be surprised to learn that none of them was ever ticketed for doing this, even though, query, is it okay if you're a third party? They weren't the people, they weren't keeping the funds. They were passing it on to a charitable organization.
Yep.
Does that make a difference? And people didn't answer that question. So, you know, if you're asking for money on behalf of a charitable organization, is that different from being the direct recipient? No answer to that one, you know. So
we still complain about it, though, Danielle. Somebody's approached us. Somebody's, I'm in the midst of going somewhere. What do you want? Well, do we want to donate to? And same with UNICEF. I remember as a kid doing the UNICEF stuff, going
trick
to door and people.
For UNICEF,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really sort of bizarre that at the end of the day, we kind of construct laws that don't necessarily make us feel safer. We just don't really like to be inconvenienced by especially marginalized people. And it's
we should have a category in the laws for that. You know, the don't inconvenience me law. And this was chapter 7. What about other panhandling laws around Canada? Do they look a lot like this? Do they exist?
Well, as far as provincial laws, I think that BC and Ontario are the only ones that have them. However, there are many municipalities that have bylaws, including in New Brunswick, Alberta, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Quebec. They have similar kinds of bylaws. Now, you can't be imprisoned. You can be ticketed for contravening a bylaw. But the question that you really want to ask as I've always said, there are three basic questions whenever you're looking at any sort of law. The first one is, what's it for? Does it have a purpose? Mm-hmm. The next one is it effective? Can this law actually do what it purports to do? So how effective do you think anti-panhandling laws have been? Just a guess.
Well, my guess with any type of law like this, which is usually based on no data whatsoever, is
you're not
probably
alone.
Probably highly ineffective or possibly even harmful by getting people into more adversarial situations than they otherwise would. That's my thoughts.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you've ever been approached by someone if you happen to be in Ontario, who approaches you at a public transit stop, at a payphone, at a public toilet, all of those people were contravening the law because the law was very specific about the places you must not ask for money, because the notion was that the person being asked would feel entrapped. Did you ever see anybody get a ticket for it? I leave that to you. But I'll tell you something that I find kind of interesting. This was what happened when people were fined under the Safe Streets Act. In 2011, a group called Fair Change did some research on this, and they found that the Toronto Police Service had issued 67,388 tickets under the Safe Streets Act from 2000 to 2010, totaling more than $4 million. Just guess how much they actually collected.
Less than 100,000.
it was just slightly over 8,000. So $4 million worth of tickets. Because who are the people they're ticketing?
That's right.
Clearly, they're people who don't have any money.
That's right. And even if you have, by them not paying, if you are just going to throw them in jail for a month or two or whatever, unfortunately, a lot of them will say, "Oh, good, at least somewhere warm."
Someplace warm, and maybe I'll get fed. I mean, so you know, this was a serious issue. I mean, this in the view of the Fair Change organization who took this case to the court most recently, this was a violation of many charter rights. So, you know, the charter rights that this group, among others, said were being unfairly infringed were the right of freedom of expression, the presumption of innocence, because one of the provisions of this law was that if you were under the influence of drugs or alcohol, that in itself would be an offense. So they said, you know, you're presuming somebody is guilty because you're looking at them and deciding they're under the influence of something.
Or they're going to go and buy with that. They're out there for the purpose of supporting a habit. Right.
Sure. They also said that it was cruel and unusual treatment, that it infringed equality rights and life, liberty, and security of the person. The judge, the judge at the beginning of this month agreed that some of these rights were indeed violated, but didn't agree with that whole laundry list. The judge said, yes, freedom of expression is being critically infringed by this law. In other words, you have the right to ask somebody for help. And guess what? And if somebody asks you for help, you have the right to say no or yes, whatever you prefer. But that is a very important part of freedom of expression and the presumption of innocence. You cannot say that somebody who is perhaps under the influence of a substance and sitting quietly on the street asking for funds is in fact a danger to other people. And that was the notion when the law was passed, that if somebody is under the influence of something, that they are therefore a danger to other people.
Yeah,
there is no proof of that, right?
That's insane. Like, I'm trying to think even what law that would be violating that wouldn't be violated by somebody leaving a bar after a Saturday night and hailing a cab.
Like, just anyone approaching anyone. Good day. Yeah. What do you want? Right. Yeah. There are people very, because unfortunately, it's the intent that the person perceives. If I come up and I'm smiling, "Hi, how are you? What are you up to, man? Are you got like a joy buzzer? Are you going to throw something on me? What do you want?" There are those. I'm really curious too, as to how many people actually were convicted, did time, or how many of these were just thrown out. Like, were we wasting court time? Because, you know, I go back to my comment that the warm place.
Yeah, no, I don't know of anyone who actually spent time in jail. In the first instance of the people, the 8 or 10 people who were ticketed and then challenged that, they were convicted under the law that was upheld in 2007. However, so much time had passed that the judge just told them to walk. They didn't have to pay any money. So it basically is a fine more than anything else.
Yeah.
And again, fining people who have no funds isn't all that effective. You know, as you see, $4 million worth of tickets, $8,000 worth of collection. But think about these most impoverished people having to hire a lawyer or in some cases getting duty counsel. But just, you know, most people didn't fight it. They just didn't do anything. And, you know, this was a really, really problematic piece of legislation. One of the things we have to be comfortable with is that when we pass a law, it will be effective and that it will be enforceable. And as I said, you know, I used to work for a very funny man, Alan Borovoy, who, when this law was being proposed, was very voluble about how unfair it was. And he used to say this. He said, if anybody... and back then they enumerated pay toilets. He used to say this. He said, if there still is such a thing as a pay toilet, and somebody asks for money in front of a pay toilet because they need to use it, he said, I would argue that it would be in the public interest for them to do that. You know, he was trying
to say,
explain. Yeah, right. So, you know, he was ridiculing the law, and it was passed anyway.
It occurs to me this is almost too brilliant. I'd hate for the government to steal this idea, but you think it's got to cost somebody, you know, a few dollars to hire someone to print up the ticket, whatever, to walk around enforcing this law. If only there was some way to put that money towards the marginalized people who were asking for it in the first
imagine
place.
Imagine that grant, you know. Yeah, I wonder how much effort could be put into finding homes for people or feeding people who were hungry, you know. Just, I mean, it's really frustrating. So, I thought that since we are in Canada celebrating the fact that we have a charter, I think it was really about time to see this, you know, these portions of this law struck down. It's still illegal to be an aggressive panhandler. In other words, if you follow someone, if you, walk beside them without stopping, and if you are, unduly persistent, those things are considered harassment.
Exactly. And that would come under the purview of other laws, as you said.
Right.
Unfortunately, we are out of time, but what a fantastic discussion. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Join me every couple weeks for the Outdoors with Lawrence Gunther podcast, where we learn about outdoor tech and tips. Plus, we look at news affecting the environment. AMI's Outdoors with Lawrence Gunther is available from your favorite podcast provider.